We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
That is right. The Weekend Report is indeed on your radio. And Tony Colombo is here. That's me in studio. And Virginia Cruda is here with me today from the Daily Caller.
Hello.
Chris Arps is out this week. And Virginia has been nice enough to step in his place. And I appreciate you being here. Great to see you.
This microphone stands up taller than the one
yeah,
I usually
you're on. Yeah, you're nice. on the Chris mic. You're on a different microphone than you usually are. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Sure.
And Virginia. Virginia's going to be here for the whole first hour with us today. We have a packed show for you. Coming up in the very next segment, just a few minutes from now, we are going to talk to Missouri Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, so I'm looking forward to that. Next hour, we're going to talk to Rodney Boyd, of course, host of Insider Talk here on 97.1. We're also going to have Skip Weber and Trish Gazelle in next hour for another edition of the Weird News Challenge.
Are you going to play or are you going to host?
I'm going to host.
Okay.
You're going to play.
I am?
Yes.
Okay.
So you know, you're not judging today.
All right.
You're in, baby. You're
right.
In the game.
I wish I would have prepared.
So
all right.
So start studying. Start boning up right now.
What happened?
That, of course, is Carl Middleman. And thank you again for tuning in to the Weekend Report. Let's get this stuff out of the way right here at the beginning. If you want to download the podcast of this fine program or any of the shows here on the radio station, you can do so on our website, 971talk.com, or even better, download the radio.com app. It's absolutely free. Get it on your phone, your mobile device, tablet, whatever, and favorite the radio station. Once you've done that, you have access to everything. You can stream the station 24/7, and you can download the podcasts of all of the shows, including, of course, the Weekend Report. So go and check that out and take us with you everywhere you go. Also, don't forget about the 97.1 YouTube channel. We have a Weekend Report playlist there, and we put videos up throughout the week, so you can check in with us there as well. All kinds of ways to keep up with the show as the week goes on. So we, speaking of the week, Virginia, we had another busy week, another crazy week. Last week, and we talked to Corey Lewandowski on this show last week. You have you've talked to Corey yourself. You've interviewed him for the Daily Caller.
I did.
So there was a clown show that 2 weeks ago with Corey Lewandowski on Capitol Hill.
True.
And there was another clown show on Capitol Hill this week with Intelligence Director Joseph McGuire, of course, regarding the whole Trump-Ukraine, President Trump and the president of Ukraine, the phone call that they had together. Let's just start big picture, 30,000-foot view. What are your thoughts on the whole mess?
Well, I would say, and I think I actually made this point on Twitter, if you look at the contents of the transcript, which I read the transcript, I read the whistleblower complaint, people who were fans of Donald Trump are still fans of Donald Trump. People who wanted him impeached still want him impeached, and there is not anything there that will take him down.
It's almost exactly like the Mueller report.
It's well,
as far as reaction.
Yes. And I would say actually in a number of ways, it's kind of like the Mueller report. Because if you remember the first part of the Mueller report, which he was charged with finding collusion.
Right.
That was his job to determine whether or not there was collusion.
Right.
And in part one of the Mueller report, he revealed, guess what? There wasn't. Mm-hmm. Part two. Several people made the point that it was basically an op-ed. It was a bunch of stuff that people said to other people that would never be admissible in any court because it was all what you would call hearsay. So part two of the Mueller report, you know, people said that it was, oh, well, this says this about Trump. No, it doesn't. None of this would be admissible if you presented it in a court of law. None of it. And the same thing goes with this whistleblower complaint. This is something that I heard from somebody else, and it made me concerned for my country. Okay, well, you know, I appreciate that you're concerned. And you know, if we had direct access to what was on that call. But if you think about it, once that transcript came out, the whistleblower who sounded the alarms about all the horrible things that happened on this call, that person learned about the actual contents of the call at the same time the rest of us did, mm-hmm. because they didn't have any direct knowledge of mm-hmm. it. So does that not raise some questions right. for anybody else? Because if, you know, it's one thing to sound an alarm about something you know about, but secondhand yeah. information.
It's desperate. It's desperation. It's like they if they think they have something, they run yeah. with it. And then they determine whether they whether it's really there
right.
or not. And I feel like that's what Nancy Pelosi did with this. Her impeachment announcement this week is that she thought something was there.
I don't think she thought something was there. I think that she had no choice.
Amen.
Because
this was the argument that Dave Glover and I had this week.
And I don't think she had a choice.
If she would have let this one pass, she would have lost the base.
She is threading a needle right
yes.
now. And what
she
has to do.
If she would have let this one go by without an announcement about impeachment,
yeah.
a lot of those Democrats, the squad and others, would have
right.
come out and said they don't have confidence in the speaker. She couldn't. She had to do it this time. That's my opinion.
Right. And I think she had to do it before the contents of the call came out, just in case it was a dud.
right.
Because
then she would just look stupid, which she kind of
does
now.
She
right.
does. But she's kind of being smart about it, because she has... By coming out and saying we're going to have an impeachment inquiry, and several people have pointed out that this is not the way you do it. You are supposed to vote in the House, on the House floor, to open an official inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do that. It's been done a few times before, because I think Al Green has pushed it a couple of times, and it's failed every time. Which tells me that she knows, A, she doesn't have the votes if she were to open an impeachment inquiry through a House vote, or she's trying to protect newly elected Democrats in formerly red
mm-hmm.
districts.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they have to go on record, especially before this call comes out and everything else, or even after the call comes out, if they have to go on record, they're in danger. And so she's giving them this 2-week window, because she made the announcement. And several people have said, hey, you need to have a floor vote on this. Whether or not she's going to do it, I don't know.
Right.
But she now has 2 weeks for people to either forget that she didn't call the floor vote like she was supposed to, or for those formerly red district Democrats to go back home and see if they can drum up some support
right.
for impeachment.
Right.
And if they can, then they come back and, oh, it's okay, we can have a floor right. vote now, because it's okay if we say this. And it's... You know,
for me, my 30,000-foot view is back to the Mueller report comparison, that people read this, and if you already are predisposed to
right.
hate the president and think that he's corrupt and up to no good, you read that and you say, see, it's right here. It's black and white. He's asking another world leader to do an investigation for his campaign. It's how could you support this? And if you already either don't care, are logical, and or like the president, you read it and you say, yeah, kind of just looks like a regular conversation. There's certainly no quid pro quo. I can never say that. And you know what? I'm not the only one. I've noticed that since that's been in the news so
yeah.
much, everybody stumbles over it.
It's almost as bad as
new words.
You know, nuclear versus
yeah. nuclear. Yeah,
yeah.
Nuclear. Nuclear. Yeah,
that was my favorite.
That was Bush.
Yeah,
nuclear.
Oh my gosh.
So,
yeah.
but you know, if you hate the president, you read that, it just reinforces the fact in your brain that he's corrupt
yeah.
and he's always up to no good. And if you didn't already believe that, what came out this week was not proof to change your mind.
Right. It's, and let me throw this out. And this is from my husband, Jim. I'm at the bakery frying donuts analysis of this. He says, I think my favorite aspect of the Democrat theory of, well, no, the transcript doesn't come right out and show quid pro quo, but the subtext is obvious, is that it relies on the subtlety of Donald Trump, who is well known for subtext.
Well
said. I mean, really,
it's funny.
This is not a man who is subtle. This is, no. I mean, he has all the subtlety of a jackhammer at 2 o'clock in the morning. You don't. He doesn't do subtext.
And no. And you know what, though? Also, one of the things that he can do is steal victory from the jaws of defeat. And he can do that sometimes. And he can do that sometimes. Or steal defeat from the jaws of victory. Excuse me.
Well,
the other way around. He can screw up his own, you know, just by talking too much, by bragging too much. As far as I'm concerned, he should just move on. Like, there is nothing in this thing. There's nothing here, guys.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Instead of spiking the ball and, you know. And
well, he called for Schiff's resignation this morning, which, to be fair, that was not based on the fact that Schiff held this hearing. It was based on the fact that Schiff fabricated the memo during the opening parts of the hearing.
So
that was pretty spectacular.
You're going to be here next week because Chris is going to be out again next week. Virginia's going to be hosting the first hour of the show with me again next week. When you're here next week, are we still talking about this, or is it already old news?
I don't know. To be honest, I think that the hearing and the memo, and I don't think we're talking about that too much because we're getting real close to the next Democratic debate. We've got a couple people who didn't qualify for the last debate that are going to be on the stage, and so that's going to be in the news. I think that we're going to see a lot of town halls and people responding and trying to talk to their representatives while they're home in their districts, because this is, you know, I thought, you'll find this amusing. Claire McCaskill was tweeting the other day, former Missouri Democratic Senator whose job Josh Hawley now has.
An SNBC superstar.
Right.
She's CNN.
No, MSNBC.
She's MSNBC.
She was tweeting about how her former Republican colleagues in the Senate couldn't wait to get home because they wanted to get away from the disaster that this phone call was, and et cetera, et cetera. And all of the responses were like, former colleagues, because you're not there.
Right.
But I don't think Republicans are running from this. I mean, when Pelosi announced the impeachment inquiry, my first response was, it's going to suck to be her in a year when she realizes that she single-handedly reelected the president.
Yeah. Yeah.
With just one press conference.
Right. Right.
There is very little, if they keep pushing this forward, there is very little they're going to be able to do to stop this train.
I agree. And the only person that could screw it up is Donald Trump, in my opinion.
I wonder, and this is something that I've heard kind of scuttlebutt around, I wonder if they are throwing in the towel. If Pelosi realizes that the only way she can save her base is to go ahead with impeachment, but at the same time, she's acknowledging that they can't win in 2020.
Right.
Because the reality is, this transcript is far worse for Joe Biden than it is for President Trump because of the questions it raises. And if they go forward with impeachment and there is a hearing and hearings in the House and a possible trial in the Senate, who do you think the defense is going to call as a witness?
Right.
And does anybody want to hear from Hunter Biden on the Democrat side?
No.
No. Because that is bad.
Bad for Hunter, bad for Joe, and bad for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that would be she'd have to be careful with, if they're ready to let Joe, you know, feed him to the wolves, let this go, move forward with impeachment, even if they can't win and sort of, like you said, throw in the towel in the presidential election, they need to be careful because they still have a really good chance, the Democrats, of holding on to the House.
Yeah.
And I think that they could even damage they could lose seats in the House with this type of behavior if they're not careful. I mean,
especially in districts that were red or purple before.
I want to change the subject. It's something that you just touched on.
Okay.
I was happy when The last Democratic debate came, and a bunch of the Democratic candidates didn't make the cut, and it sort of cut the field in half. And I was like, okay, great. You know, there's not 25 anymore. Now there's only 10. And I didn't think, I thought from here on out, we were just good. The field was just going to shrink. It's growing again because Tulsi Gabbard and Tom Steyer, of all people, have qualified for the next debate, like you just mentioned. So now there's going to be 12 Democrats participating in the next debate.
Okay. Because Cory Booker made an announcement earlier this week that if he doesn't hit a fundraising goal, a specific fundraising goal, that he's going to drop out of the race.
By Monday.
Entirely.
By Monday, because end of third quarter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Well, that's...
Yeah, so there may be...
That's also when Corey Lewandowski said he would make up his mind.
There may be some kind of push and shove there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Corey Lewandowski, I've been watching Shaheen in Connecticut, which is... that's where he... No,
New Hampshire.
Shaheen. She's already fundraising off the fact that he might run against her, which tells me that she's scared.
He's already fundraising, and he hasn't even announced yet. So.
Well, he announced with us last week.
But that makes sense. I mean, he was actually exploratory and whatnot. So it makes sense for him to be raising money toward that end. But she is actively fundraising, considering him her opponent.
Yeah.
Like, using his name and not even mentioning anyone who's already running in the primary.
Because that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
We all know that. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah. So it is funny, though, that she's scared and doing that already.
So Tulsi Gabbard back on the stage. Yes. Tom Steyer on the stage for the first time.
I'm with Tony Katz on this one. As soon as he heard that Tulsi was going to be in the debate, he's like, please, can she stand next to Kamala Harris?
Yes. Amen. I'd love to see that happen again.
Yes.
Do either one of those candidates, now that they've made it back on Tulsi made it back on the stage, Tom Steyer finally qualified for it, can either of them join the group of front runners?
No.
At any point? They're...
Tulsi Gabbard is the voice of reason.
She's the only one up there that I like.
And the Democratic base is not listening to that voice anymore.
Yeah, amen.
So, I mean, if she stands up and says something sane, she's going to get booed in a room full of hardcore Democrats.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean, and I don't know if you've watched this, but she's been posting on social media videos of her workouts. That's no joke.
Oh, yeah.
I would struggle to get through one of her.
I'm telling you, I like her.
And I'm in good shape. So.
I think that she is one of the only ones, and you can say this about Republicans, too.
Yeah.
She's one of the only ones that I feel like is up there for the right reasons.
No, I don't agree with her assessment of a lot of things.
I don't agree with her policies, but I like her as a person. Yeah. I think that her heart's in the right place.
Yes, I think that, yeah.
Now, the only thing I know about Tom Steyer is that for the last year, every third YouTube video that I watch, he freaking pops up with a 2-minute long commercial that I can't wait for the skip ad button to pop up as he lectures me about how the president has committed 4 crimes a day every day since being elected to office. So,
For heaven's sake.
What is he going to bring to the conversation? Just more under the big top?
Not to get all conspiracy theory on you, but if you wanted to set up to make Elizabeth Warren look reasonable.
Okay. All right.
To make who? Say that again.
Elizabeth Warren. Oh, okay. Look more reasonable and less, you know, far left.
Yeah.
Loopy. Put Tom Steyer on the stage.
He's got a lot of money.
He has a lot of money.
He's a billionaire.
Well, speaking of which,
but I like that idea.
Elizabeth Warren is in trouble if she wins the nomination because there's a CNBC report out yesterday, I think, that there are Wall Street donors that are ready to either sit out the election or donate to Trump if she wins the primary.
Wow. Okay, well,
and these are Democrat donors.
That's where we will end this segment then, because we have to talk to Missouri Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe. So last question before we go to break this time about Elizabeth Warren, and winning the nomination. There was a poll that came out last week in Iowa that showed her ahead of Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. And then just here right at the end of the week, there was another poll out of one of those New England states, New Hampshire or Massachusetts, something like that, that also, for the first time, showed her ahead of Joe Biden. So here she has, actually, she's actually winning in a couple polls. That's the first time that we have seen anybody but Joe Biden lead in a couple of, it was New Hampshire. She's up 27-25% in New Hampshire over Biden and 22-20 in Iowa. Do you feel like she really has a shot at winning that nomination? Is she truly the front runner right now? And does she have staying power?
I would say yes, she is the front runner right now. It is probably her nomination to lose. Because the question is, will you see more Democrats realizing this is not a good tack to take in a general? Mm-hmm. Because realistically, Joe Biden is a more formidable opponent in a general election.
Agreed.
But Warren has, I mean, she's traded in big dollar fundraisers for selfie lines, and people like that.
Yeah.
She's getting a lot more young people out to her rallies, but here's a question.
She's getting the Bernie bros.
How many young people go to primaries?
Right. Ask Bernie Sanders.
How many young people go to general elections?
Yeah.
I mean,
good point.
So, you know, the 18 to 25, she's very popular with the 18 to 25 demographic, but can she get them to the polls?
Right.
That's the question.
All right. That's going to do it for this segment. Coming up next is Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe. Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller is in for Chris this week, and she's going to stick around as well. You should, too. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. And welcome back to The Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo in studio with Virginia Cruda from The Daily Caller, who is in for Chris today. Of course, Carl Middleman is here as well. And as I mentioned in the last hour, joining us now on the phone is the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Kehoe. Lieutenant Governor, great to speak with you again. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Doing great today.
Yeah, you bet. You made some news a little bit earlier this week. It's kind of happening right now that a lot of the statewide officials are officially announcing their, you know, running for their office again. The governor made his announcement a couple weeks ago, and you announced this week that you will indeed be running again to hold the office of Lieutenant Governor. Tell folks about that announcement and why you think, you're the guy for the job.
Well, thank you for having me on today. I would be happy to talk a little bit about that. As you know, as we've talked before, I'm originally born and raised in St. Louis, so it's great to be on an audience with familiar friends and family, hopefully listening. But about a year ago, 14 months ago, the governor asked me to take on this job. It's something I didn't have in mind. I didn't dream in my wildest dreams that I'd ever be doing this. And I told Governor Parson that I believed in his mission to kind of get things going right in direction in the state of Missouri, and that I'd be happy to join him. And after spending 14 months visiting all 114 counties, many of them multiple times, and meeting Missourians and working on the things that Lieutenant Governor does, veterans and tourism and by Missouri, I quite frankly have been more inspired than I've been exhausted. So my wife and I and family, we, prayed a little bit, thought a little bit about it, and we said this seems to be going well, and there's some work we'd like to continue. So we decided to go ahead and run for the office and continue to work for our Missourians.
It's an interesting situation that you're in, and many of the people that hold statewide office in Missouri, after what happened with Josh Hawley being elected to the Senate and former Governor Greitens stepping down last year. There's a lot of people in these positions that they were appointed to. You were elected to different offices, but you weren't elected to Lieutenant Governor, and Mike Parson wasn't elected governor. So does that create any sort of unique challenges as you go forward with, running for an office that you already hold but never actually won an election for? It's weird, right?
Well, I think it kind of gives us a little bit of an advantage, at least for Missourians. We're all in these offices begin without promising anything to anybody.
Right.
sometimes people get elected in and they make a lot of different promises. Obviously, we'll have commitments as we go forward and what we'd like to continue doing, but it's a little bit refreshing, and I'm hearing that from some Missourians. It's nice to have folks in office who aren't professional politicians who really didn't know they were going to be in that position and did it anyway as a way for public service and don't have a lot of things hanging out there that would make it seem like they've promised everybody to get there. So I think it's kind of a fresh start, actually, for us from that point of view. And I think it's reassuring to Missourians as well.
Yeah. Speaking of Josh Hawley, I didn't even mean to ask you this question, but, you know, I just brought him up and it kind of popped in my head. How well did you know the senator before he left? I don't know if you guys had a chance. I mean, he's been in Missouri politics a long time. You have, too. I assume you guys have worked together a lot in the past. What do you think of the job that he has done since he's gone up to Washington?
Well, I've known Josh and his wife, Erin, for a long time. He did a great job running and serving as our state's attorney general's office. I was appreciative that he would take on the role of so quickly running another statewide campaign and running for U.S. Senate. But, you know, it was so critical that we keep the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. And I think you're seeing that with the judges that have been appointed over the last several months, that we are really making some strides with that, you know, with conservatives in charge of the Senate. I think that's a good thing. Josh, I think, is doing a great job. He's doing exactly what he promised the people he would do. And I'm just so happy to have them there as a compliment to Senator Blunt. I think the two of them together represent Missouri well, along with the rest of our congressional delegation. And I think that's a good thing for Missourians.
Okay, I have one question. This is Virginia. I was just wondering the broader implications. You said you've been going around the state of Missouri and you're seeing a lot of what the people have to say. And I'm coming from, you know, the People's Republic of Illinois, so it's a little bit little bit different climate where I am. But
God love you.
I know, right? But so my question is, as you're going around, the big thing right now, if you look at a broader national scale, Democrats are pushing forward with impeachment now. So are you hearing anything about that? Are the people in Missouri, are they sick of it? Do they just want it over with? Do they think, I don't know. I just know what I'm seeing in Illinois, and it's kind of a split. Southern Illinois is kind of a split ticket. But as far as Missouri, what are you seeing on that?
Well, can I tell you something? Here's what I'm hearing all across Missouri. I was in Pettis County last night, which is Sedalia. I was in Springfield, Greene County before then. I was in Rolla, Phelps County before that with all this news that's broke. And I unanimously what I hear from different people, and these aren't just conservative groups. I'm going to different groups of, you know, some bipartisan groups. You know, the sum it up is, doesn't Washington have anything better to do?
Huh.
I mean,
amen.
We have all kinds of things hanging out there that they could be taking action on for, you know, our transportation bill is about to, you know, expire. So the reauthorization of transportation dollars, USMCA, probably the most important thing to Missouri agriculture, which is the replacement for NAFTA, waiting on a vote. I mean, there's so many things there that they could be doing that actually helps people and makes a difference in people's lives. And instead, we're going down this, in my opinion, this crazy road to where, I mean, where does it all end? Let's try to get something done that actually makes a difference in people's lives.
Yeah.
Well, Ann Wagner was talking about that yesterday. I think she was on the Mark Cox Morning Show. She said that Nancy Pelosi actually put off a vote for 2 days on the Debbie Smith Act, which would allow to clear the backlog of stored rape kits, which is a big deal. You would think somebody who was, promoting women's issues like Nancy Pelosi says that she does, you know, wouldn't she be in favor of this? Because this is a bipartisan effort to clear this backlog.
But she puts impeachment ahead of that.
There's so many bipartisan pieces of legislation that are out there that need action from the House now. I don't get it, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And I think if we tried that in Missouri, if all of a sudden we said, you know, we talked a little bit earlier, we, you know, went through some turbulent times back in the 18th session with the governor, but the legislature kept going forward. And so the things that we needed to get done for Missourians, we continued to do. We had that issue going on, but we didn't let that consume us to the point where we weren't getting things done for Missourians. So it's a little mind-boggling to me.
We're talking to Missouri Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe. And Mike, you were here on the Dave Glover Show a little bit earlier in the week. If anybody missed that, I suggest you go and check out the podcast, which is available on the radio.com app. Of course, you can podcast this interview on that app as well if you missed it or you want to hear it again. One of the things that we discussed when you were here with Dave off the air is something you just touched on that I wish we would have had time that day to talk on the air, and I'm glad we have the time to do it today, is the replacement for NAFTA, the USMCA. And you had mentioned when you were here in studio with Dave off the air how important it was for that agreement, how much that deal will affect and be a positive thing for the state of Missouri. Can you sort of explain that, why that agreement is so much better than NAFTA and how it will benefit Missouri?
Well, look, when NAFTA was negotiated, it, you know, for the time, it probably was the right thing. But so many years ago, I mean, we didn't have cell phones when NAFTA was negotiated. We didn't have the internet hardly. I mean, think of all the things that have changed in technology and the way we do business. And so when you have a trade agreement, you need to make sure it's updated to what we do now. Missouri's number one industry is agriculture. We are an agrarian state. I mean, and if you look at just the impact agriculture has across our state, especially there with Bayer and now Bungie moving in town with the research that we're doing, the plant science research, et cetera, not just the crops in the field, but what's happening in St. Louis and the whole plant science corridor. I mean, NAFTA is an incredible, incredible important piece for our farmers, for our family farms, to be able to move forward with certainty to get their products to market and be able to capture the best prices they can on the market. In my opinion, the president did a great job negotiating that. It's teed up. It's ready to go. It's another bipartisan piece. I've seen I am part of the National Lieutenant Governors Association, which is Democrats and Republicans. We have supported that. Democrats and Republicans and my counterparts in other states are supporting that. I see that in Congress. You know, there's plenty of bipartisan support on how important that is. And I just can't for the life of me understand why they wouldn't take that up and push that thing through so that we can get certainty for our markets, not just agriculture related, by the way, all of our manufacturing markets across the United States. It's a great deal, and we need to be taking advantage of it.
Got a couple more questions for Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe before we let you go. One of the things that we've been dealing with here in St. Louis, and they've also been dealing with in Kansas City, and Mike Parson has been very proactive in this area. He has visited St. Louis multiple times in the last several weeks, and that is to address the crime that is happening in Missouri's big cities of St. Louis and Kansas City. I don't know about Kansas City as far as the children are concerned, but here in St. Louis, we've had this alarming year of homicides involving children. I know that the governor has sort of released his plan to address crime in the big cities. Can you talk about from a statewide office what you guys are doing to, you know, sort of look into this crime? You know, we've got this Cure Violence program in Missouri that they're going to be spending millions of dollars on to implement. What are your thoughts on the crime in the big cities and the governor's plan to hopefully limit and eradicate a lot of it?
Well, look, let me just say on a personal note that as a kid who was born and raised in North City, St. Louis, there's nothing more disturbing to me when I see a crime scene on TV and the tape that's wrapped around a tree and goes to the lamppost and goes up to somebody's handrail is a corner that I know personally. And I've seen those scenes. Those are places where I grew up. Those are streets I walked on. And I'm telling you, it'll rattle you down to the core. I've spent time with the Kansas City Police Chief going through their crime lab. I've spent time with Chief Belmar in the county. I've spent time with St. Louis City walking beat cops. This is something that everybody wants to get their arms around. I think the governor's plan is a great step in the right direction. I'm happy that St. Louis City, as well as county and the surrounding municipalities, got together and said, let's figure out what we need, and then let's ask the state of Missouri on how you can help us fill the holes with different assets, whether people or equipment. And I think the governor's plan addresses those needs, and there's a great process going forward. But look, this is something that's cultural. This is something that is a deep problem. This is not a magic wand fix. It's going to take a lot of people. Neighborhood watches, people, citizens getting involved, prosecutors being willing to keep these folks that do the bad things behind bars. It's going to take multiple pieces to get this, start curbing this violence. And I think we're going in the right direction with everybody on board to try to get that done.
Very good. Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, before we let you go, one last question, kind of going back to your announcement that you are officially running again in 2020 for Lieutenant Governor. I've also heard you mention about how close you are with Governor Parson, who is also, of course, running again for that position. And we have had in the state of Missouri, you know, different periods of time where the governor and the lieutenant governor, since they are separate elected offices, sometimes it's a Republican, sometimes it's different political parties holding the two offices. and maybe they don't communicate as much as they probably should. How important in your eyes, I've heard you talk about what a great relationship you have with Governor Parson and how you guys are essentially in constant communication. How important is that to run the state of Missouri, to have the lieutenant governor and the governor simpatico, on the same side, working together, working towards the same goal? How important is it that, you know, both of you get elected and hopefully keep moving the ball forward?
Look, I think it's critical. Missourians like the fact that you kind of get two for one. When you have a governor and lieutenant governor that work together, no matter what the parties or the state is or wherever you're at, I think Missourians in this particular case are getting a little extra value, the way we call it in the retail business that I was from. Being able to understand what the governor's plans are, letting me have input into that. The governor listens, not just to me, but to other Missourians and people around him, so that we can try to do things that move the state forward together. We absolutely try to work with each other. I have people all the time saying, hey, you should come to this event because the governor's going to be here. And I said, well, on purpose, I try to be somewhere else where he's not, just so that we can try to make sure we're listening to Missourians in all corners of the state with both of us out there together. So it's and Missourians are noticing that. I'm hearing that all over the state. They're saying, you know, it's nice to finally have a governor and lieutenant governor that actually work with each other and know what each other are doing and share the same core values. And I think that makes a big difference to Missourians and the way they conduct their lives. And I think hopefully they'll find the same thing in November 2020 when it comes time to the ballot.
Well, that is Lieutenant Governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Kehoe. Mike, hopefully we can have you back on again soon as you go down this campaign trail. For people that do want to learn more about you, where you stand on the issues, maybe they want to support you, websites, social media, all that good stuff. How can people learn more about your campaign?
Sure. So it's MikeKehoe.com. If they want to learn more about the campaign piece on our official page, you can go to our lieutenant governor's website and see what the office is doing. And on social media, it's at Mike L. Kehoe. So that's the Twitter sign, at Mike L. Kehoe. And they can follow us wherever we're going. We just finished in Dexter last night. We're in Sykeston today. So we're covering the Bootheel this weekend and just meeting a lot of great people.
Thanks a lot for your time today, Lieutenant Governor. Hope to talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. All right. That is going to do it for that segment, but there is plenty more to go. Don't go anywhere. Virginia Cruda is sticking around, and we've got more Weekend Report coming next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. And welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo in studio with Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller, who is filling in for Chris today. Carl Middleman, of course, is here as well. And
Hi.
As I mentioned in the last segment, joining us now is Brian Eggers, one of the great sponsors of this program, the owner of Eggers HVAC. Great to see you, my friend. How's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So one of the things I wanted to have you in today to talk about, obviously we want to talk about the business and the mobile showroom and all that stuff. But finally, we've had some noticeable weather changing.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're not quite there yet where it's like time to turn on the heaters and stuff, but that's right around the corner. I know it's going to warm back up, but it's right around the corner that people are going to be switching over from the air conditioner to the furnace. What are some of the things that people need to be looking out for as we get to this time of year and you're turning that furnace on for the first time, bracing yourself for the horrible smell?
The horrible,
it's about to happen.
Burning smell, yes.
But yeah, like I imagine this is going to be a little bit of a bump for you and your business that people turn on the furnace for the first time in a few months and they realize that something's gone wrong over the summertime.
And the number one thing that causes interference with normal operation is, as always, dirty air filters.
Yes.
And people think, oh yeah, I got that just like a few days ago. And in reality, people lose track of time like nobody's business when it comes to air filters.
Dude, you were in here one of the first times that you came in and joined me on this show, and I told you that I was like a once a quarter guy with the air filter.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, do you have any dogs? And I have a puppy, a chocolate lab puppy. Uh-huh. And you were like, you might want to check it. I'm up to like once a month, and that first time that I pulled after waiting 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, it was bad.
After having that dog, after she had grown full, and she's a, it was incredible.
Yeah.
So it was such good advice. Like here, I'm thinking like, I got it. I'm once a quarter guy. I'm one of the guys who's up on his stuff.
Sure.
But it's kind of different for everybody, and you know what you have in your house affects a lot of, you know, what goes through your system.
Well, not only that, but also the type of filter that you get. You know, people go to the box store and they pick up these high efficiency filters, and we've got a demonstrator that shows customers what the effects are of different filters, and people are usually stunned at how restrictive air filters are. So we sell a product. It's manufactured by Lennox, and it's a whole house filter. The replacement filter is $47. It lasts an entire year.
Wow.
And it's super low static pressure, so it lets the system breathe. And what people don't understand is, yeah, you can go to Amazon or somewhere and buy a cheaper filter for sure, but if it's restricting 10 or 15% of your airflow, that means you're running your air conditioning 10 or 15% more. So that $20 you saved on Amazon is going to visit you on your electric bill every month.
Yeah. And one of the things that I talk about you, about Eggers HVAC, and what I think sort of sets you apart from the rest, and why I think that people should go out and at least give you the option to, if they need a new system or they just need somebody to work, is your dedication to customer service, your dedication to providing options instead of just showing up and saying, here's what's wrong and here's how you fix it and here's how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are very good at providing options and explaining why and what's happening and why these options are what they are and why whatever costs are what they are. And I think a big part of that, obviously, is also the mobile showroom. So just kind of a highlight on that, the philosophy of how you deal with your customers, and then talk about that amazing mobile showroom, which you can still see the video on the Weekend Report playlist on the 97.1 YouTube channel if you want to go through a tour of the Eggers mobile showroom. It's freaking amazing.
Thanks.
So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a game changer for customers who have seen it.
I hate using terms
like game changer. But,
no, I bet it has been.
But, you know, when you are selling heating and cooling products to people, it's more or less a promise. And may the best talker and salesperson win.
Right.
So when you have a mobile showroom where people can physically walk in, they can see what the equipment looks like, it turns on, they can hear what it sounds like,
yes,
they can interact with the thermostat, it definitely changes people's mindset about what they're looking to get when they figure out that this feature-rich product will do all of these things that they didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of, yeah, let's go with the builder's grade, it's, you know what, I really want to be able to dehumidify the house in addition to cooling it. I really want an air cleaner that tells me when it's time to change the filter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going on now. In the last 10 years, there's just been an explosion of technology in the industry. And it's really exciting to show people.
Yeah, talking to Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC, and it really is, you know, for me, I hate going and shopping for things like that. I know other people do. You know, you're always worried about spending money, and it's just so, game changer is the right word, because it's such a big deal, it would be for me at least, to have that just show up and pull in my driveway. And instead of me having to go somewhere, I go in, and it's not like you just have the one super system that's the most expensive,
nope,
and that's the only thing in there, and you try to just sell that to people.
Right.
There's in that mobile showroom, there's options, so you can pick, you can operate them, and you can see like, oh, I love how this one works and the controls on it, and maybe that one's a little too fancy, I don't really need that, or maybe you want the fancy, and you get to, like you said, you get to hear the blower kick on, you get to operate it yourself, so you have so much more confidence about that purchase that you're making. So much better than you would sort of the old way.
Yeah, and I've noticed that people, you know, prior to the showroom would be pleasantly surprised after we installed equipment, like, oh, okay, what he said's true, and even more so. And now the expectation after they are on the mobile showroom, they know what they're getting, and it's more of a satisfied feeling before it's even installed.
Yeah.
Something else that we're doing that I'm pretty excited about is that when customers purchase equipment from us, and buy a planned maintenance agreement, which is an annual thing. We come out twice a year to service the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We are offering a lifetime warranty on labor. So as long as you do a planned maintenance agreement, your labor costs are zero with us. And part of the reason we're doing that is just as an added benefit to our customers, but also because 15 years into it, the number one thing that kills equipment is when people don't do regular maintenance.
And you'll be able to do that.
And this is kind of a reward, I guess.
Yeah.
And it entices folks to go ahead and get that maintenance done so that they can get the longevity out of their equipment, and then they're satisfied with their purchase, and they'll purchase again. They'll mm-hmm. tell their friends. Everybody's happy.
It's that focus on customer service. That's why you guys are the best. Before you have to leave, tell folks how they can learn more if they want the mobile showroom to show up to their house, or they just need you to come out and look at their existing system. How is the best way to get hold of Eggers?
You can call the office at 636-681-1976, or you can find us online at calleggers.com. CallAggers.com.
Very good. Brian Eggers, thanks so much for everything you do for this show and this station, and we'll have you back on again real soon.
It's a pleasure.
You bet. All right, we got to take a break. Got a whole second hour coming up of the Weekend Report. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
That's right, and it is hour number two of the Weekend Report. Thank you so much for listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Virginia Cruda from Daily Caller is putting in a little overtime. She has been filling in for Chris today and has been nice enough to stick around for another segment with us. Virginia, before we talk to Rodney Boyd, who is on the phone now, tell folks how they can follow you, social media, and how they can read your stuff on the Daily Caller.
Okay. You can find stories from me and from many other talented journalists at dailycaller.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at VA Cruda.
And it's pretty simple. Yep, and it's a good follow and good information, and I get a lot of the news stories that you hear me talking about throughout the week on 97.1, I get a lot of information from
and
reading Virginia's articles.
I just want to tell
you
that you don't keep me on for the Weird News Challenge because you'd know I'd win.
We'll have to have you back for that soon. The Weird News Challenge with Skip Weber and Trish Gazelle from 102.5 is coming up next. But like I mentioned, right now, we are joined by Rodney Boyd, the host of Insider Talk every Sunday at noon here on 97.1. Rodney, great to talk with you again, my friend. How you doing?
I'm always delighted to be on your show, even if it's the second or third hour. I feel like I'm just beginning to get a rhythm going. So, no, good to be with you, Tony.
Yeah, you're kicking off the second hour and the first hour just a couple segments ago. If people missed it, they can always go get the podcast on the radio.com app and mm-hmm. listen to the interview. But we talked to Lieutenant Governor of Missouri, Mike Kehoe. I know you know the Lieutenant Governor well. Of course, he made a little bit of news this week when he announced that he is going to be officially, once again, running to become Lieutenant Governor. He, like Governor Parson and the state treasurer and many other Republicans that hold state office, are currently serving in an office that they didn't win. They have won elections, but not for the office that they're in. A lot of them were appointed after Josh Hawley was elected to the United States Senate, of course. Eric Greitens resigned last year, and it sort of caused this whole big reshuffling. What are your thoughts on Governor Parson, who has also officially announced that he's running in 2020 to stay the governor of Missouri, and now Mike Kehoe for lieutenant governor? You think those guys are the right men for the job?
You know, I think they both are doing very good jobs in the offices that they've inherited, and I think they're going to be very formidable, very difficult to beat incumbents. You're right to point out that neither of them were elected to the specific office they hold, but they both have been elected prior to these roles in state government, mm-hmm. so they're not new to government. And I think, you know, the challenges of today are significant. We'll get into some of that. And I think these guys are doing about the best they can with the circumstances that we have in the state. Mm-hmm. Mike Kehoe is particularly interesting because a lot of people don't really understand that Mike Kehoe, although he has built his brand, in fact, it literally built his brand, Kehoe Ford, out of Jefferson City, where he was sort of a major car dealer, grew up in St. Louis City. So every time I see the governor from Kehoe and we talk, I always like to give him trouble because he grew up and was, you know, spent most of his life in Walnut Park and Baton, two very tough areas of the city right now to live in. But he's a St. Louis guy, and I always tell him, how often do you hide that St. Louis part when you're out of state, Boot Hill or wherever? How often are you saying Missouri versus what you used to say when you were in Walnut Park, Missouri? And we laugh about it. So I just think these two gentlemen are true Missourians through and through. Both of them have spent most of their adult lives and investing in Missouri, either through public service. Mr. Kehoe, before he ever ran for office, was on the Highway Commission during the time when we rebuilt Highway 40, and I think most people thought that that exercise went better than expected quite well. Mm-hmm. So two different personalities. I think two guys that are going to be very difficult to beat. I know there's at least one challenger named for the governor, Ms. Galloway. I don't have any names yet for if one's going to challenge Mr. Kehoe, but I'm sure there will be. And as we move forward, I think they're going to be very formidable.
Ronnie, you've been in Jeff City covering Missouri politics, working, you know, very closely with a lot of politicians for a long time. One of the things that Lieutenant Governor Kehoe touched on was his relationship with the governor and how close they are and how they sort of work together and communicate almost daily and are you know, working towards the same goals. Many times in the state of Missouri, because the two offices are separate, you know, elections, they're not elected together as they are in some other states. The lieutenant governor and the governor, you know, don't always see eye to eye. Sometimes there's separate parties. Sometimes it's even separate parties holding the office, a Democrat holding one and a Republican holding the other. In your experience of just being around it, Missouri politics and Missouri government, I mean, how much more progress gets done in the state of Missouri when the offices of governor and lieutenant governor are held by like-minded individuals?
Well, I will tell you, this is the first time probably in the last quarter of a century where I've been privy to a governor and a lieutenant governor working as a team. You made a great point. These are independently elected offices. You noted that Mike Parson's going to run for governor and Mike Kehoe's going to run for lieutenant governor. Two separate elections. One could win. The other could lose. They both could win or whatever variable you wish to imagine. But this is the first time that I have seen in my career over 20-something years where these two personalities have made a commitment. Now, some people say, well, yeah, he appointed Mike Kehoe. He has to work with him. And that's an assumption that could or could not have manifested itself. But the fact that they work in tandem to tackle the issues that we're facing, they split the labor, they work as a ticket, even though they don't run as a ticket, they work as a ticket. I think that has served this state so well that it probably, I hope, will become the norm because it hasn't been. If you just go back 2.5 years ago, Governor Greitens was a Republican and Lieutenant Governor Parson was a Republican. Did they get along? Yep. Did they work together on issues of workforce, job training, transportation, public safety? Absolutely not. They respected each other's separate lanes. They moved about the state in different spheres, very little overlap. And that was the norm.
Right.
Even when you had a Democrat governor and a Democrat lieutenant governor, it was sort of the same outlay. So to see these two offices work synergistically is to really create, I think, a new normal that probably will survive their terms and create a new appetite for these two offices working together. It's very productive.
In retrospect, isn't it kind of a good thing that Parson didn't work quite as closely with Greitens as he is with I mean, just for the association and the, because
he didn't get any of the stink on him is what you're saying.
No, that's not really what I mean, but politically
but
speaking,
that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Politically speaking, the stink. I mean, not anything, you know, I'm not trying to
it just,
cast aspersions.
It may actually pay off for Parson to, I mean, I think it's great that they're working together and I wish that we could see something like that in Illinois, at least working together in a different direction than we're going. But, you know, to see them working together really is, it is something to see. And I think that it probably is to his credit, that he didn't get bogged down. Not because he just didn't get bogged down in what he was able to continue to do his job because he had a second lane.
And Ronnie, to add on to Virginia's point, which just in general, I mentioned a minute ago, some states, you know, the governor and lieutenant governor office are together. It's one ticket, almost like, you know, a national election with a president and a vice president. And some states, they do it like Missouri does it, where the two are separate offices and separate elections. Do you prefer one system over the other? Do you think we have it right in Missouri by keeping it separate like that? Or should it be one ticket? Go ahead.
I think the way that the founders of each state constitution set it up has probably worked well for those states. And just because, remember this, that even when it is a ticket, even when the people are working sort of synergistically in almost, I think every state, maybe one or two, but I think every other majority of states, you still have to get independently elected. So even if you run as a ticket, even if you run with a common mission, if your partner on the ticket loses and you win, you got to now work with someone that clearly be hostile because they beat your opponent. Mm-hmm. So I think that the system works is each state, each laboratory of democracy gets to determine the best way they want their elections to run. But I think what happens is, you know, when you have these offices not working synergistically, I think that there's a division that doesn't serve the common good for the people. What do I mean by that? If you've got a governor and a lieutenant governor that don't really communicate, don't work together, when the governor leaves the state or when there's a decision that can't be made or if there's a need for executive leadership to be in some part of the state where the governor can't. Think about the natural disasters. You know, when we had the hurricane that decimated Joplin, it was all governor, 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 because the governor at the time had no working relationship with the lieutenant governor. So Lieutenant Governor Kinder was not really deployed or utilized in a way in other parts of the state by the executive branch. And so you would not see that now. Now, if there was, and as there has been, a disaster in one part of the state, and the people want to know that the political executive branch is there, you know, engaged, the governor has deployed and worked with Mike Kehoe to go in those places and be there on behalf of the governor. The governor, most people didn't even catch this, the governor of the state was out of the country on a trade mission during the parade when we celebrated the Stanley Cup. Mm. And it went unnoticed in large part because Lieutenant Governor Kehoe presented a proclamation on his behalf.
Yeah.
Most of the crowd heard governor, 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 and clapped and cheered.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
That's what happens when you got this sort of tandem working together. It serves civically, socially, and economically better for the constituency that they both represent.
Rodney, only got a couple minutes left. We're talking to Rodney Boyd, the host of Insider Talk, every Sunday at noon here on 97.1. One of the issues that, you know, I like having you on because you are an expert on sort of the local issues, and sometimes we get so distracted with what's happening nationally, we forget to focus on the local issues. I want to get your thoughts on the Cure Violence program. So the Cure Violence program is this program that has been presented to the city of St. Louis, and they claim that if you initiate their program, they can cut down on murders and violent crime by 30% in 1 year. St. Louis has already set aside $2 million for Cure Violence to be for 1 year. People like Lewis Reed and some others are wanting to make a larger investment, up to maybe $8 million, to install Cure Violence in the city of St. Louis for multiple years. What do you know about this Cure Violence program? Because that's a lot of money, and that's a lot of bold claims to say that you can lower crime and murders by 30% in just 1 year. I know this is more than a two-minute question, but, you know, in just a minute or two, what are your overall thoughts about this idea of investing so much money in the Cure Violence program?
Look, so two things. Well, I've seen the presentation. I've seen the data on what they have been able to do around the country. Each community has its own sort of ebb and flow and challenges. If they can bring those kind of data point solutions to St. Louis, great. But I think part of what the Board of Aldermen and the city were doing is acknowledging the fact that they feel kind of helpless with local resources in terms of social services programs and groups. Some people dispute that because there are groups like the Block Federation through Better Family Life and the Urban League that say they're doing some of the same things. I think the political folks in the city are just sort of desperately looking for any kind of solution that they believe can address the death rate, the homicide, the hopelessness. Now, if Cure St. Louis can work, at best, I think it would be a temporary short-term solution. Tony, we've got to deal with the systemic decades and decades of disinvestment, brokenness. The institutions that were viable in the 70s when I grew up, the church, the local business, the local merchant, the family structure that was strong in spite of poverty. Poverty doesn't dictate that you have to be violent or criminal, you know. And so when I grew up in a poor part of the city, we had the ethos of, you know, my grandparents made me go to church 2 days a week. We had a local merchant on each corner that I knew by name that looked out for me. Pure violence cannot create a neighborhood. Pure violence cannot deal with in a comprehensive way the systemic problems that the community faces. So look, it's almost like what we do now in our personal lives. If we get sick, we want to go to Walgreens or CVS and get that thing that's going to make us feel better so we can keep functioning. But we better ultimately get to what is causing the disease of decay, disinvestment, and disenfranchisement if we're going to heal the community. Or we could spend 8, 10, 15, 20 million on Cure Missouri. They'll come in. The data will look better. But if we don't address the root causes of these problems when they leave, the problems will reemerge.
Always great stuff. Rodney Boyd, Insider Talk is tomorrow at noon. Who's on the show?
Freeholders. We're going to talk about the freeholder process.
Yes.
We got to dig into this because this is a topic that's going to consume a lot of energy for the next year.
I'll be listening. That's great stuff. Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's great stuff. We'll definitely be listening. Rodney Boyd, thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. And Virginia Cruda, thank you for your time.
Yes,
for being here. And Chris is going to be out again next week, and Virginia has already agreed to come in and be with us next week. So
we'll
see you next week. Thank you so
much.
That
means more donuts and
for
more cookies.
I know, right? Thanks for
thank you. Keep bringing me back.
Thanks Virginia.
Thanks for helping us out this week.
Sure.
We are going to take a break, and we've got more Weekend Report coming up. Skip Weber is here. Trish Gazelle from 102.5 is here. And the Weird News Challenge is coming next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. If you lose me. And welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Big thank you again to Virginia Cruda from Daily Caller, who has spent most of the show with us today as Chris Arps is out. Chris is also going to be out next week, and Virginia will be back again. So that's a lot of fun. Big thanks to her. If you missed anything that we talked about with Virginia, or you missed the conversation with Rodney Boyd or Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, don't forget you can always go back and download the podcast of this show. You can do it on the website, 971talk.com, or the radio.com app. It's a free download. Once you have the radio.com app on your phone, you favorite the radio station, and you have access to everything. You can stream the station 24/7. You can download all the podcasts from all the shows here on the station. And again, it is all absolutely free. So go and check it out. As I mentioned at the end of the last segment, Skip Weber has arrived.
Hello.
Great to see you, my friend.
Great to be here.
Giselle from 102.5 is here as well.
This is rigged. I am not happy about this is rigged.
What's rigged?
Skip and Carl.
You're like negative Nancy.
Yeah,
right out of
I don't like this.
Shoot.
At least give me ARPS so I have a
what
shot
happened
at winning.
she wants ARPS so she can finish second.
I mean, at least I need one person I can get on.
Chris is going to be so mad because
there's so many times when I finished in thirds. ARPS is no lay down. He's all right.
He's going to be mad because, Skip, you missed a couple weeks a little bit earlier this month, and he wanted to play while you were gone so he could catch up. So he could try to gain some ground while you weren't here, and now he's not here, and we're playing.
Now Skip and
Trish have a chance to gain ground on him.
And Becky, Becky, when you were gone, Becky had written one, but Skip wasn't here.
Yeah, that's right.
And so Chris is like, well, I can't play.
You know what I like to see about this? So this is episode 52 of the Weird News Challenge. As I look at it right now, and I, for the first time, I see my name
leaderboard.
On the board. As a winner.
Yes.
I loved being the host. I want to do that again.
I'm
kind of disappointed in my questions. I feel like, I don't know.
I thought the questions were good.
They were good.
They were about 25% better than Tony's
usual. I'll take it. I need another shot at that, though. I like
even though
host.
You lost.
I'm glad
because,
there's math there. Because
Tony knew the answer.
Because Tony
he cleaned up on that multiple.
Discussed the answer on the air. Yeah.
Well, you were listening to it, Skip.
Only
so,
for the beginning.
Well, that's your problem.
The begin-
that
well,
is
I
your
can't
problem.
Help it. Yes.
So today is another traditional game of the Weird News Challenge.
Actual news.
So it's actual news, fairly recent news, real news stories.
Is that
and
a hint? It's a hint.
Just like last week's show that Trish put together, I have six questions on this week's show. Yeah, that's a lot. And question number six has 10 possible answers.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, Trish just talked about it. You heard the segment. Many of the questions that I ask on the Weird News Challenge always have been things that are not only real news stories that are out there and, you know, readable and gettable, but a lot of times are stories that we have talked about either on Annie's show or Dave's show.
Many of them
week,
are
so
food related.
There you go. And many of them are
I thought that's where he's going. Yes.
Is a big one for us.
There is a food question. There's one food question on today's show, too. All right, here we go. This is episode 52 of the Weird News Challenge. It is, again, a traditional game. Trish Gazelle from 102.5, Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet, and producer Carl Middleman are playing today. Let's test the buzzers. Carl, go first.
Carl.
There you go. Trish.
Bloop.
Mm-hmm.
Ding, 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 ding.
Very good. The buzzers are working, and we are ready. Katie Fitzpatrick rule is not in effect. You can buzz in whenever you want. Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge, episode 52, question number one. The Kansas City Royals announced this week that their manager...
Carl.
Yes, sir?
Mike Matheny.
That is correct.
Oh, good one. Mm-hmm. I almost buzzed it and said Ned Yost, which would have been wrong.
Skip. Wait, is that for sure or is it a possibility?
It's a possibility.
Yeah. Well, and that's what the question says, too. So the full question was, Kansas City Royals announced this week that their manager, Ned Yost, will be stepping down at the end of the season. It has been widely reported that his replacement
that's about right then
will be this former St. Louis
so
Cardinal
very,
manager.
Very astute.
Mike Matheny is the answer. Question number two, a related question. What was Mike Matheny's Cardinal jersey number?
Carl.
Yes, sir?
22.
That is correct.
Good one, Carl.
It was his number as a player and his number as a manager.
Yes.
Question number three. It's another sports question, Trish. No,
oh,
it's not. Amazon. It's not a sports question. Amazon is rolling out new celebrity voices for Alexa. Skip Weber.
Samuel L. Jackson.
That is correct.
I was almost there.
Trish, that was yours.
You would have had that.
Disappointed.
That one was written for you. Amazon is rolling out a new celebrity.
That means I'll never get another one to this whole game.
Amazon is rolling out new celebrity voices for Alexa. In other words, you can have your Alexa speak to you in a celebrity's voice.
Good choice.
Who is the first celebrity voice that will be offered? And the answer is Samuel L. Jackson. Question number four. Six questions on today's show. The sixth question has 10 possible points, so even Trish Gazelle could still win this game. Question number four. Recently, Rick Springfield gave an interview where he gave details about writing the song Jesse's Girl. And while the story in the song
Bloop.
Is, yes.
Gary.
That is correct.
Yes.
Wow.
That is
his name
correct.
Wasn't Jesse. It
was
Gary,
but it didn't fit in the song. So
while
Gary's
the story in the song is basically true, Rick did know a guy who had a girlfriend that he wanted for his own, but the man's real name was not Jesse. It was Gary.
Here's a better not say it because he may have gone.
Okay.
Is the next question related to that question?
It is not.
Okay, so Jesse's Girl is about a guy named Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
a friend of his.
It's Gary.
It's a guy named
Gary. But it's about the guy named Jesse, but it's spelled like the way
a woman.
Girls spell Jesse.
That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not spelled J-E-S-S-E.
Mm-hmm. I-E.
It's I-E.
So when he wrote the song, he wanted Gary's girlfriend when he wrote the song, and the song was originally called Gary's Girl. And he said it didn't sound right. He then changed the name to Randy's Girl, and he still didn't like the way it sounded. And then he finally settled on Jesse's Girl.
Maybe that's how they spell it in Australia.
Yeah. So
he's not Australian, is he?
I didn't think he was. I don't think he was American.
I think he is
because that was the name. That
I don't
was
think
all American boy was.
It doesn't
the
matter.
Does anyone
I don't think
know
the way they
name?
Spell it anywhere?
Does anyone know the name of his character on General Hospital back in the day?
I don't, but my wife does.
Dr.
Drake Ramirez? That was Joey Drake. Tribbiani.
Noah Drake.
So if I would have said Dr. Drake, I would have been fine.
My wife loves Rick Springfield. My mother-in-law loves Rick Springfield. And when my wife and I were dating, I was working for 104.1 The Mall, a radio station. That we played Rick Springfield.
Have a nice day.
He came to town. Yeah, Have a Nice Day Cafe.
We used to go there on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
Have a Nice Day Cafe?
No, he came to the pageant, I think. And I got my wife, and at the time, I was dating her. And so I got you know, my girlfriend and her mom backstage passes to Rick Springfield.
You were in.
And I was in for the rest. That was it.
And,
that
you,
was
and the, you're still married.
That
and
was
she still
the
likes
turning
you.
Point.
Your mother-in-law likes
that
you.
That was the turning point from, yep.
You
from
were
that
in.
Point on, I was my I was
That's
in with
good.
My mother-in-law.
Two years ago,
That's
it was Rick Springfield and Pat Benatar at Riverport. I'm sorry.
And Rick Springfield was born in Sydney, Australia.
Oh,
thank you.
Very good, Carl. Yeah.
And
I don't think that they spelled Jesse with the girl's name any different there than they have.
He was great. He did a version of Katy Perry's Brave.
Oh, wow. Really?
And it was really great. But Pat Benatar sounded
He still
amazing.
Takes his shirt off. But he's still like... In his concerts, plays topless.
He's tiny. Yeah.
He was on that show on Showtime called Californication.
Right.
He was
enough.
Really good.
All right, two more questions.
Two more questions. Question number five. Man, we were...
Tangent Radio.
You are welcome, Rick Springfield. Question number five. A new survey asked Americans what is their favorite way to have their steak cooked. okay. Yeah.
Well done.
That is correct.
Oh,
well done.
Burnt.
Isn't that gross?
No,
yes.
I do
That's
it well
horrible.
Done.
Horrible.
I do it well done. I don't want any blood on my plate in like my potato.
A chef will tell you.
I don't care.
I want it to flinch when I poke.
I don't care what a chef.
No,
says.
Chefs. The chefs
eat it how
rare.
I want.
Chefs will say medium rare.
But you should ask for medium so that they will actually cook it medium rare because they'll undercook it.
Trish Gazelle is right. A new survey asked Americans what is their favorite way to have their steak cooked, and well done was the number one answer with 24%. Medium rare was second. Just 1% behind.
I could do medium well. I could do medium well. But I like a strip, and that's okay for a strip.
All right, so this is big time.
We're tied.
This is big here. So Carl has 2 points. Trish has 2 points. Skip has 1 point.
But that doesn't matter.
This is the sixth question and final question, unless we need the tiebreaker, and it has 10 possible points. So it's anybody's ball game. This moment right here is why the Weird News Challenge is America's favorite game show, because you could cut the tension with a knife.
Just do it.
Okay. First person to buzz in gets a chance to clean up here.
I wish Chris Arps was here.
Keep your hands on the buzzers. Yeah.
You'd have more than 1 point.
Keep your hands on the buzzers, because as soon as that first person misses one, you can buzz in and get more. Here we go. A recent survey found the 10 messy things that our significant others and family members do that annoy us the most.
The dishes.
They leave dishes in the sink. I'll give you that one.
What number is that?
Number one.
Oh.
The trash.
Be more specific. What about the trash?
Taking out the trash.
That is incorrect.
Okay. Bloop.
Okay, Trish Gazelle.
Leaving their clothes on the floor.
I believe that is one of them, actually. There's a lot of them here.
I thought there was only 10.
Yeah, there is. Yes, it's shoes, leaving shoes on the floor, but shoes are clothes. I'll give you that. Three.
Okay.
Okay, leaving the...
I like the fact that I gave you that.
No, that's fine, but...
Cap off the toothpaste?
Incorrect. Incorrect. Right. Do you want the? You can have the question.
Yeah, that's a thing. You should have probably asked for the question.
No, because you can't buzz in and ask for the question. If she asked for it,
it's all done. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So he can have the question. Survey found the 10 messy things that our significant others or family members do that annoy us the most. What are they? What are the 10 things?
Well, that was the whole question.
Significant others and family members.
So you got one, and
right,
I got
so
one.
So far, we have.
We're still
so far, we have leaving dishes in the sink,
which is number one, and we have leaving shoes in the hallway, which is number 10.
But
we have the top and the bottom.
Not taking out the trash.
And here's the deal: Carl and Trish are tied at three. So Skip can either make it a three-way tie.
Yeah,
you can either make it a three-way tie.
All right, so let's go.
What does Lori yell at you about?
Leaving clothes on the floor. That's it. Let's go with how about leaving the toilet seat up?
That is number two.
Oh, that's a good one.
Need one more, one more to force a three-way
good
tie.
One.
All right,
come on,
so
Skip.
Let's
this
go
will be fun.
With,
I'm actually rooting for a tie.
Me too.
Let's get a three-way tie.
How about leaving the bed unmade?
That is incorrect.
Oh,
darn
not
it.
On the list.
That would have been awesome.
Now
we're going to tie.
So here's the rest.
I kind of wanted a three.
Here's the rest. Leaving cabinet drawers open.
Oh my gosh, I get yelled at for that all
leaving the fridge door open, which I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah, I should have just that.
I do.
Leaving caps off of things in the refrigerator.
Hey, wait a minute.
In the refrigerator. Oh, yeah. Like not,
caps
not,
off of things
not capping
in
the milk.
Refrigerator, not toothpaste.
Not capping the milk.
Well, somebody may keep their toothpaste in the refrigerator.
This is a big one in my house. It drives me crazy. Leaving cups and dishes around the house. My kids would leave a plate on the on a friggin'.
So when I said dishes, I could have been.
Well,
You could have actually
I could have
been,
two of them.
You should have been asked to be more specific.
Leaving the lights on when they leave a room.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Which is not messy, but that's
see,
okay.
See, yeah, this the headline
say,
of this list
deal.
Is
yeah.
not a good
a pet
not
versus
headline.
Messy.
Not
yeah.
closing bags of potato chips. Mm. And the final one, the garbage one, is letting the garbage overflow.
Ah.
Not,
but if you take the trash out, you don't have that problem.
No. No, but you said taking the trash out.
Taking the trash out is kind of an argument about who
all
takes
right,
it
so
out.
So I got to sit out the tiebreaker here.
You got to sit out the tiebreaker. Here we go. So this is only between Trish and Carl. Hold on, I got to do
and
my
lady first. You get to answer first.
She has to answer first because she has the most victories
most
on.
It's, it's actually
which
a
gives
disadvantage
you,
to answer first.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
You
it's
have
a disadvantage.
It's a disadvantage to answer first.
Because you could go higher or low.
Yes. But you have more wins on the.
Thanks for trying to act like you were being
chivalrous.
A gentleman.
So you do have to go first. Okay. Yeah, we've figured that out, how who goes first.
Well,
in the
wait. If I have the most wins, I should be able to pick.
Yeah, but the advantage goes to the person that has the least.
I'm coming from behind.
Yeah, Skip always has to go first.
I have to go first. And I'm the master of the Price is Right.
That's right.
The manipulation of
I
numbers.
Am ready.
$1.
I am ready.
Same survey.
Uh-oh.
The same survey about messy stuff. According to that same survey, what percentage of Americans say they have ended a relationship over chores and cleaning?
Ooh.
They have ended a relationship over chores and cleaning. What percentage of Americans...
I get to guess at the end.
Sure,
you can.
Without being getting the win.
That's
I'm
going to
say 37%.
Okay, Trish is in at 37%.
You going high? You going?
Where are you
going
to go, Carl?
I'm going to go.
Closest guest wins
38%.
Ooh.
I'll
I'm
bet
going
you
higher.
It is lower than 37. I'll bet
I
you.
Hope
it's,
so.
I would guess 30%.
34%.
You won.
Trish Gazelle
yes!
has won the Weird News Challenge for the 10th time.
I didn't think
you
I'd have
now,
a chance between these two.
You are now have joined the double digit club with Skip Weber and Chris Arps.
What? How many are you at, Skip?
17.
I don't know, 17, 18,
gosh,
20,
we need
something
you
like that.
To go on vacation for a long time.
I've done this before. You guys don't play when I'm on vacation.
No, we
Skip
don't.
Skip is at 17, Chris is at 11, and Trish Gazelle is now at 10. Very good stuff. All
good
right.
Job.
We have got to take a break. Are you going to, can you stick around?
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
Trish is going to stick around. Skip's going to stick around. You should too. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM. To the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Congratulations again, Trish Gazelle.
Thank you. You won by
3%.
The latest edition
there you go.
Of the Weird News Challenge. You want to hear the Weird News Challenge again or all the exciting things that we've done on today's show with Rodney Boyd, Virginia Cruda, Missouri Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe. Don't forget, you can always download our podcast free on the radio.com app. app. Certainly appreciate you sticking around with us and listening to the Weekend Report. Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet is here. Trish Gazelle sticking around for another one. And producer Carl Middleman. Carl, we talk about your other gig here in town, working for the St. Louis Blues. They, of course, have some exciting news with the new practice facility opening up.
Yes.
And their new defenseman. That's the exciting news.
Yes. Falk. Yes.
How about that? A multiple all-star.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And we signed him for an 8-year deal.
Yeah. The champions just got better.
Mm-hmm.
NHL.
Right. Wow.
Just
how old is he, by the way?
The champions just got 27.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's 27, but he started
like
at 21.
So he got,
and there's a really cool documentary coming
out. There's an event coming up. This opening night is on Wednesday, but Tuesday, the day before, at Ballpark Village, they're going to show the brand new documentary about Grant Fuhrer. It's called Being Coco. Now, if you remember, he wasn't called Coco here because he had a problem with cocaine between Edmonton and here.
Right. So that wouldn't have been good.
The Coco name kind of just went away. Because when I saw the documentary name, I'm like, I don't remember him being, but when he was with Edmonton, he was Coco.
Yep.
And he said it was easy for him to become a player of color because he was wearing a mask.
Right.
And in Edmonton, they didn't, you got a black guy on your team. Like, which one? Oh, the guy wearing the white mask is out there. But this is about an hour and 15 minutes, and Grant Fuhrer is going to be there, and Darren Pang is going to moderate a Q&A with Kelly Chase and Grant Fuhrer.
That's cool.
And it is really, I watched the documentary. It's really good.
Yeah.
You're probably going to see it on NHL Network throughout the season. Everyone's in it because he was with five championship teams with Edmonton. Then he had a great run here. You have Wayne Gretzky.
Mark Messier. Paul Coffey, probably.
But all in the documentary. Gretzky, Messier, Glenn Sather, his coach, was up there.
Right.
And then you have Jerome Iginla, who idolized him as a kid. And he's like, well if a black...
There's another player.
Yes, if a black guy can do it, I can do it. And Fred Brathwaite, who used to play for the Blues. And there are going to be two times when the crowd in St. Louis boos. First of all, when Mike Keenan shows up, and he is unrecognizable. He has no hair on his face. He doesn't have the mustache, and he has shaved his head
bald. So he's
bald, talking
in the documentary
about because
Grant
Fuhrer's
career.
Yes, because he brought Grant Fuhrer to St. Louis.
It's not old footage. It's
well,
it's
they
current.
Do have old footage, but the talking head of him now
is current.
Is very shocking. And then the other time that they will boo is when Nick Kyprios... He's in the documentary and he talks about the hit.
Wow.
He's like, Chris Pronger pushed me, and Pronger's in it too. Chris Pronger pushed me, and Pronger's like, yeah, but then he went the other way.
Yeah.
Because he tore his ACL.
Kyprios is a verb between me and my friends when we talk about, especially in playoff hockey.
Supposed to win that year.
There was a major Kyprios last.
There was a moment against Boston.
Yeah,
That happened in the game, and we were we were texting each other, and we were using the word Kyprios. As a verb, he just got Kyprios.
Barely got touched and just totally
And crashed
flopped.
The net. And, right. and yeah, that was that, and that put John Casey in the net.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey kind of
lost.
had a little bit of a meltdown under the pressure.
They were expected to go all the way that year.
They were.
And the St. Louis Blues
That was
have,
the Gretzky year.
Yes,
right?
It was.
Yeah.
And Wayne still says that Grant Fuhrer is the greatest goalie of all time.
Yeah.
And the Blues
He's
have.
He's certainly
a,
in the conversation.
Well,
the Blues have a strong...
Wayne Gretzky has no business saying anything but that. I mean...
Right. He got him five cups.
Yes.
Is this a closed event, or can people buy...
No, people can buy it.
And they're still on sale?
Yes. Go to the Blues website.
I would imagine that'd sell out. I don't know.
And it's at Ballpark Village.
That's so cool.
And the Blues have a huge...
Grant Fuhrer is the kind of guy... He deserves this.
Yes.
He deserves a documentary about him.
Now, let me ask you a question.
His story is amazing. Mm-hmm. He's an amazing dude.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
I notice he's not looking at me.
No, or anybody. Picture this event.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals win one game against the Cubs. Milwaukee sweeps Colorado. NL wild card game is Tuesday night in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be nuts down there.
Well,
might happen.
Don't blow the...
Although, in that scenario,
they
maybe
might
Washington...
It.
No, it would probably be at Washington. But if Washington loses all their games...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
St. Louis, yeah.
It's still possible.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Yeah.
It's probably as possible as anything else.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
That there's a wild card game in St. Louis
because,
on Tuesday night.
That'd be amazing.
If they win the division, they wouldn't play at home until the weekend.
Right. But if they play the wild card game...
The wild card game's Tuesday because it needs, if there needs to be a tiebreaker, that's Monday.
Yep. That's right.
And that would be in St. Louis.
But we're in the playoffs for sure,
yes.
right?
Yeah, yeah, but we don't know where we are yet. Yeah. Yeah. We don't have home advantage unless we're... We have to play a wild card playoff.
So that's what we really want now.
The only thing they've qualified so far, the Cardinals, is that wild card game, which is just one game.
Mm-hmm.
And not they haven't not qualified for a series yet. So, but yeah, we'll see how all that shakes out.
And I've mentioned all these players from Edmonton, but Chris Pronger, Brett Hull, Al McInnes, they are all in this documentary too. Kelly Chase, cool. They're all in this documentary. It's very blues heavy, and even players like Brett Hull is wearing blue stuff. Wayne Gretzky is not wearing any.
Which
any
player style. Will be on site that night? Any?
It will. Well, Grant Fuhr will be there. Uh-huh. Darren Pang will be there, and Kelly Chase will be there.
Yep.
I bought a.
People understand the
Grant
taping
Fuhr
situation,
signed
Skip.
A hockey point, a hockey puck about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Before it obviously went to the Hall of Fame and they gave it to my nephew. Like, that's a good thing to have, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, you should keep that.
I was just like, okay,
you gave it away already, but that's okay.
It was a charity event, and I'm like, I'll buy this and give it to my nephew.
Before we run out of time, two things I want to talk about. The Saturday Evening Rock Show and Weber Chevrolet.
Saturday Evening Rock Show.
Let's talk about them both.
So thrilled to be back with the new show.
Yes.
We had to have, with technical
difficulties. Some technical difficulties. There was
couldn't
a couple,
put new music in.
A couple of best ofs.
Yeah,
you were honest with that. You came up on the show last week and said, "Hey, this is from June."
Well, and I also put it on my Facebook already. Yeah. You know all that.
But a new show is back tonight.
Can't wait. And it's kind of neat because I created it, you know, before something happened in the rock world, and so I had to redo my notes and do all this stuff. So mm-hmm. you'll see.
So then, I'm guessing.
Don't worry about that. Yeah.
Yes.
So then.
Anybody in the cars?
No.
I'm fairly new to the rock show. Yes. So can you tell me exactly what it is?
Well, I'm going to tell you it's the number one music show on a talk station in the world.
In the world.
In the world?
It's the number one music show on a talk station
in
the world.
We play
2 hours of rock and roll music. We have a theme that
all
ties all the songs.
You.
All picked by me. And
basically,
it's about, I do about 10 minutes of talking per hour.
So you
hour.
Like weave stories in around the songs?
Yes.
Awesome.
Every song gets some time about here's why they did this or here's what I think about it or this is why I picked it or whatever. And so and I have fun doing it. So I have to have a lot of notes on everything, though.
And he doesn't give the theme out. At front,
until,
he gives them like a half hour to guess.
Songs,
so you start playing songs, and then
play
people
songs.
Start guessing. Oh, this is the theme. Oh, great!
Play two
I love
songs,
this.
and then give up the theme. So
you have
this is a hard theme to guess. This
so
is a
sometimes,
hard theme.
So sometimes it's one theme for the whole 2 hours, and sometimes
yes,
it's
only
a theme
once
an
if
hour.
I split it, and okay. this is a
Ooh,
whole,
now
this
I
the whole thing.
Get in on this. What time does it start?
9 o'clock.
Okay.
9 o'clock this
I'm
evening.
I'm listening to
on
see if
this radio
we
station.
Should have a text game, a group text to see who can guess it first,
first
between
yeah.
us,
yeah.
and
well,
then we get
I
points.
Like it.
This
I like
is a separate game.
There you
game.
Go. There you go.
We also, all three of us know how to cheat at that, too.
I, well,
by going
that's
to,
true. I'm above cheating, oh. so I wouldn't do that.
So
good,
that's
answer.
Great.
Good answer. Good answer.
Weber Chevrolet, so at the beginning and end of every month, you know, there's always something changing and always something to talk about. Is that sort of, we talked to Brian Eggers earlier in the show about how we're kind of, you know, we're changing seasons.
Right.
I know things change at the end of every month. Does anything change for you when a season changes? Like now that summer's kind of officially over, does that have any effect on you guys?
Not so much summer, but just getting toward the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Because this month, September, was the first month where we really had significant good 2020 incentives from the factory.
Yeah.
So we had lots and lots of 2020 sold in the month of September, you know, as opposed to just a trickle. But we still have a handful of brands, especially Silverado, that have a lot of inventory from 2019s. So you got this time of year,
mm-hmm.
September, October, lots of 20s and lots of 19s.
Yeah.
Last year it was lots of 19s and lots of 18s, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that time of
year. Kind of
so,
always a thing you can take advantage of.
Yeah, exactly. So mm-hmm. you got the bad thing is it will start to run. I mean, I expect October's incentives to be at least as strong. But there's less to choose from on the 19th.
Very good.
That's the problem.
All right. You can learn about all the deals happening at all three Weber Chevrolet locations by going to WeberChevrolet.com. That is exactly right. That is going to do it for another edition of The Week in Report. Thank you, Skip. Thank you, Trish. Thank
Winner.
You Carl. That's right.
Second place.
Thank you to Virginia Cruda for helping out so much today.
Last place. First place.
Chris was
first
out.
Place overall.
We're not petty at all.
First place overall.
Bye. See you next week.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.